Let's read together Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now in this first section of Acts chapter 5, we have the death of Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? The feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 5. This portion of Acts chapter 5 with some background notes. We saw in Acts chapter 4 the beginning of persecutions of the early Christians. And the church has continued to suffer persecution throughout her history from that day to this. Besides the external problem of persecution, the early church also faced internal problems. In this chapter before us, Acts chapter 5, we see the internal problem of dishonesty. And in Acts chapter 6, we will see the internal problem of complaining on the part of some believers. Well, these same internal problems face the church today as well. So once again, we see how the book of Acts is not only an accurate history of the early church, it is very practical for dealing with problems in the church today. At the end of chapter 4, we read about Barnabas, who owned some land and sold it and gave the money to the apostles to help meet the needs of the early Christians. Let's read those verses once again. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37. This is the same Barnabas who later went with the Apostle Paul on Paul's first missionary journey. The reason this act of generosity on the part of Barnabas is brought in here at the end of Acts chapter 4 is obviously to put him in contrast with the dishonesty of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Remember, there were no chapter divisions in the original book of Acts. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira was not in selling their property and keeping some of the profit for themselves. No, they could have kept all the profit for themselves. Verse 4. Their sin was that they pretended that they were giving the whole price of the land to the Lord. They wanted the praise that comes with giving everything, but without giving everything. Peter said that this dishonesty was lying to the Holy Spirit, and this sin was so serious that it cost Ananias and Sapphira their lives. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first portion of Acts chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Verses 3 and 4 are really a proof text for the deity of the Holy Spirit. Verses 3 and 4 once again. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? while it remained? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Notice that Peter said when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they lied to God. So this passage in Acts becomes a great passage of Scripture to show the doctrine that the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible teaches that God is a Trinity or triunity. That is, one in essence, but three in persons. The person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Three persons. Not three phases or not three modes, but three distinct persons in the Godhead. You know, occasionally I'll hear Christians say something like this. God revealed himself as the Father in the Old Testament, and God revealed himself as the Son in the Gospels, and God revealed himself as the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. No, that's heresy. It's the old error of modalism creeping back into the church. These people mean well, but the language is heretical. The orthodox doctrine of the Trinity is not that God is one and reveals himself in three different modes, as it were. The mode of the Father in the Old Testament, the mode of the Son in the Gospels, and the mode of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. No, the orthodox doctrine of the Trinity is that God is one in essence, but there are three persons in that oneness. The person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. So don't refer to the Holy Spirit as it, but as he. When we sin, we don't grieve in it. We grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. And we are not taught by an it. We are taught by the person of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. John 14:26. And we are not guided into truth by an it. We are guided into truth by the person of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verses 13 through 15. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 16, verses 13 through 15. And an it doesn't intercede for us. The person of the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, 26. The doctrine of the Trinity is assumed in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. Here in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit is shown to be God himself. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. Doctrinal point number 2. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. 1 John 5:16 says, there is a sin unto death for the believer. 1 John 5:16, there is a sin unto death. That is, a believer can commit a sin or sin to the point where God must discipline that believer with death. It's far better for that believer to be removed for the sake of the purity of the Christian testimony. Such was the case of Ananias and Sapphira. Their removal maintained the purity of the early church. This discipline of purging had a good and solemn effect on the early church. We read in both verse 5 and verse 11 that great fear, that is, great reverence, came upon the church as a result. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, that some sinning believers there at Corinth were sick, and some slept in death because of their abuse of the Lord's Supper. This was the discipline of sickness and death. Now the big question, does God ever discipline a believer with death today? Answer, yes, for that believer's own good, as well as the testimony of the true church. I mean, wouldn't you, as a believer, rather go home to heaven early if you were involved in a life of sin than live on and do further damage to yourself and to the body of Christ? I think when you really think this through, we would all say, yes, take me home to heaven, Lord, today, if I'm going to continue to mess up my life and the lives of others as well. 1 Peter 4:17 says that judgment begins with the household of God. 1 Peter 4:17. So God does use the discipline of death today. But keep in mind two significant cautions in this area. Number one, just because a fellow believer is sick or dies, don't jump to the conclusion that this is God's discipline. Christians get sick and die for all kinds of reasons. And number two, while there is the discipline of death today, there are no apostles administering it, as Peter did here. No, the highest form of discipline that church leaders can use today is excommunication. The discipline of death is in God's hands alone. James chapter 5, verse 20 says, "He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." James 5:20. So we all have a ministry to those believers who are under the discipline of God, to turn them back from the error of their ways before it's too late and before God must remove them with the discipline of death. There is a sin unto death. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Acts chapter 5? Don't test the Holy Spirit. Don't test the Holy Spirit. Peter said to Sapphira in verse 9, "Why is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?" To test the Spirit of the Lord, to test the Holy Spirit, means to see how much you can get away with before God judges. It means to presume on God and stretch Him to the limits of His long-suffering and patience. Don't test the Holy Spirit. Now, notice in the context that dishonesty and hypocrisy were considered testing the Holy Spirit. Is it possible that any of us are testing the Holy Spirit right now? Dishonesty, hypocrisy, this is serious sin. Let's examine our hearts. Don't test the Holy Spirit.